John chapter 1, starting at verse 1. And if you would please stand to receive God's words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Let us give thanks for God's words. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for the word that you give us, and we ask, Father, that you help us to open up our hearts to your truth. We ask, Lord, that you help us to dig into our faith, that we look to you, the one who spoke to us, the one who spoke to us now through these words, and forevermore through the Holy Spirit. And so we praise you, Lord, for this truth. We ask that you help us to receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we're going to open up our study, obviously, in the book of John at chapter 1. And I think, as the scripture tells us, we start in the beginning. And so as we start with this, I think we kind of just need to preface it a little bit of why we're in John and what we're looking at here. Certainly, he's one of the Gospels, so there's no better reason than that at this moment. But we should also look at the idea of what John is trying to do here. Notice when John opens up his Gospel, it's not with the birth of Jesus. He opens it up just a short time, weeks before Christ's ministry takes off and he starts to work in his last weeks of life in the world. And so as we look at that, then we have to understand that there's a purpose in it, that there's a message even in that how John has arranged it for us to receive it. And that as he gives us these things, he begins with this very deep theological, essay, I guess, if you will, on who Jesus is. And that as he opens this up for us and we look at it, he brings that for a certain reason. And that reason is that he wants us to first ground ourselves in what brought us to Scripture. Are we here looking at these words to know Jesus, to know God, to know what he has done in our lives? Or are we here just because that's just where it starts? You know, he brings us to this moment to understand that if we don't have this basic foundation of believing in Jesus, that it was going to be hard for us to understand all the rest of this. Certainly, the Word transforms us. Certainly, as we go through the Word, even if we've never known Jesus, as we go through it will have an impact on us, that he will speak to us through his Holy Spirit. But as we go through this, John also gives us this reminder that it's not done once you've read it. You're not done unless you just want to reject it. And so you see, so as we see here in these words, he brings us to this in-depth thing. Who is Jesus? What do you believe in? Do you believe in Christ? Do you believe in what he said? Do you believe what he did? And certainly all John has to offer here for us is his witness, is his testimony. He says, we saw this. We were there. We were one of those who walked with Jesus. And so then now he brings us his testimony. And so it's up to us then to seek, to search, to make that determination of what it is that we really believe, because there's so much at stake. So as we hold that question into ourselves, do we believe only in Jesus? Do we believe what Jesus said? We must remember it's not so much that we just believe that he existed, or that we believe that there's no reason for those guys to lie, so it must be true. But rather, what we believe is we believe him, Jesus Christ, the one who died for us. So let's take a look at our scripture. In verse 1 there is where I want to start. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So let's break that down. Let's unpack that a little bit. So he says, in the beginning was the Word. So he's going back all the way to the beginning. You know, so if you want to look at beginning, we would say, you know, in our Bibles, Genesis 1:1. So he looks all the way back there, but certainly the reference is not so much to that, is that Jesus was there in the beginning, the Word. You know, so that brings us right away to another question is, well, who is the Word? Well, I think that as we look at this and we understand more about it, you know, that we realize that the Word is Jesus. And I'll give you the references on that here in a little bit. But certainly as we look at it as believers, we see here that he's talking about Jesus, the Word of God. God spoke into the world. It was Jesus. And that when he was here speaking into the world, it was Jesus. And so that we know that when God spoke, things happened. He spoke the world into creation. He spoke his commandments to his people. He brought them into obedience. He brought them into faith by his spoken word. That when he said things and they heard it and they listened to it, then they came to Jesus. They came to God the Father. They came to who was calling them, the one who created them. So Jesus was in the beginning. The Word was with God. All right, so there's a separation here. We see this kind of idea, this concept that God would stand beside himself as Jesus. That we see this idea that Jesus in the world was more than just a man, that he was God, that he was certainly all the things that he claimed to be. But the thing we must understand from this as well is that if he was there in the beginning and he was with God, then he himself is eternal. He is forever. Even though they brought him into the world and he walked in the world and he grew up in the world even, and that as he walked among us and he preached to us and he helped us to understand who he was, and then finally one day we killed him because we didn't like what he was saying, that we must understand that death had no hold on him. It had no hold because he was eternal. So what we can see here is there's some kind of crossroads, some kind of transcending of his where he was to where he became for a little while and then where he went to. You see, he's given us a big picture. He wants us to understand that from the very beginning, this plan of salvation, this plan to know God through Jesus Christ was always in place. It was always in place. It wasn't something that God came up with a good idea. He just thought maybe, if we worked it this way a little bit, then they'll change their minds about what they're doing. That wasn't it at all. The plan was always there. The plan was always in place. And so as we see then where we stand in this, we find that we're just a part of this very large plan. That we're just sometimes even just a very small little piece in it. That the world that Jesus came from is a world of eternity. It's a world we can't even fathom. We know there's no time there. We know that it'll last forever. But what does that really mean? Who's ever experienced forever? Who's ever experienced timelessness? I know sometimes you sit and you think, well, maybe this sermon is timeless here, and maybe it lasts forever. But that's still nothing compared to what it is that God comes from. There's still nothing what Jesus came out of. It's still, there's no way for us to convey this concept because we've never been there. So he came from one place, he came into this place, and then he returned into the place in which he came from. And so as he came out to do something. He came out here to help us to understand something. Even by his own being, we could understand forever. Or at least understand that he was forever. That death had no hold on him. And they asked him, well, you know, why do you have to die? What is it that's going to happen then? You know, what about us? If you're gone, what do we do? He said, I'll be here with you. I'll be with you forever. I'm going to leave with you the Holy Spirit. So he helped to comfort us even in that time that we couldn't understand. He helped us to be comforted in knowing that we might feel small and insignificant in this grand plan of his. But yet in his love for us, it was his grace that he came into the world, that he left one place and came into the other. And then finally, and the Word was God. The Word was God. Okay, now let's look at this in the way that it comes to us, that we must understand, though, that it's not he was and now he's not. But the reference is when he comes into the world, as we'll see here in a second, when he comes into the world, He was God. He was still God. We said, yeah, but we saw the man. John, the guy who saw him, the guy that walked with him, the guy who was there through it all. That when he looked at Jesus, he saw a man. But now John, the guy who comes back and is writing these words down for us so that we can know what he saw, he says he was God. He was God. A little bit in our scripture there, in verse 14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, it would be something else if John says, I just think these things. I was looking at Jesus and I thought, He must be these things. But that's not where He learned them from. That's not who taught Him about these things. It was Jesus Himself. That's what the whole Gospel of John is about. Is that he's going to teach us. Jesus is going to teach us about who He is, what we're supposed to believe. What does it mean even when we say we believe? That all of John helps us to understand that. That He's bringing us to those moments. And John is saying, I'm a witness. It was the Word that became flesh. It was the Word of God that became flesh. It was God's message, His spoken message that came into the world, that He became flesh. God stepped down from where He was to stand here with us. Now, is that love? I can't imagine that. I can't imagine that we would sacrifice so much to do something so loving for someone else. We're just not very good at that. But God shows us. Also in verse 18 then, He says, no one has ever seen God but the one and only Son. Okay, so here's the identification with Jesus Christ. Jesus will do that Himself later, but John is letting us know this up front. He says, no one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is Himself God, and His closest relationship with the Father has made Him known. So you see, so then later, then we're going to find some things about Jesus. He's going to say some things very exclusive about Himself. In other words, He's going to say, this is why I can say this. And this is why then you have to decide if you believe it or not. But this is why it matters in the long run if you don't believe it or if you do. You know, that Jesus Himself steps into these things. So let's look at then this belief, this truth that has come into the world. Last week we had a sermon. That was last week, right? Steve Plants was up here and he gave us a sermon on hope and trust and, you know, and 2 weeks ago. Okay, man, I don't know who was up here last week. apparently that didn't work. So we had a message from Steve and he was talking about the truth. And he was talking about our hope and our trust and finding our way in this world as we're lost. And so as he brought that message to us and we bring those words into us, certainly there has to be a foundation that it lands on in truth. And so that's really what the question becomes. What is your foundation of truth? What is it that you really believe in? What is it that you stand in and that you stand for? Regardless of what it means to you in your life, do you still stand in that? Now, one of the references that he brought up, and I think this is why he kind of brought it back around to that way, Jesus is being, he's on trial, and Pilate is questioning him, and Pilate brings him, you know, to this, he wants to understand, are you the guy who you say, are you saying you're king? All right? So then Jesus makes a reference to His kingdom. And so Pilate says, you are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. So you see there, he's saying that Pilate says it. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. That is why He came into the world. Jesus is telling Pilate, this is why I'm here. I'm here to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Everyone on the side of truth listens to Jesus. What is truth? Retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, I find no basis for a charge against him. In other words, you know, you guys brought me here, you want me to crucify this man, and I went looking for the truth, and I can't find the truth. Now, the grand irony is that he's standing in front of the truth. The grand irony, as he stands there in front of the truth, he asks the truth, what is truth? The great sadness in it is that it doesn't touch his heart. That all of the things that he has heard, all the things that he knows, nothing touches his heart to bring him to a faith, to a belief in the truth. But Jesus says that that's why he's here. He's here to testify to the truth. That was his whole ministry, was the truth. And the truth will set us free. But what does that mean? Why do we say that? Why do we believe these things? What is it that Jesus did in His truth? Because I have a truth. And you have a truth, or at least so the world says. that we develop these truths through ourselves. But here Jesus comes and he says, me, I'm the truth. He says he is the one that tells us that this is true. That he stands there and he tells Pilate, I testify to the truth. That if you want to know the truth, you ask me what the truth is, and I will tell you. In John chapter 4 and verses 5 to 7, Jesus is talking to the disciples and he has told them, I'm going to go away and I'm going to prepare a place for you in my Father's house. In other words, I'm going back to where I come from so that when I get there, I'm going to ready it for you so that way you can be brought into this. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? How do we know the way? I think that's a good question. So he says, I'm going to go, you're going to follow me. Well, how do we know? How do we know how to get there? Jesus answered, here's the answer. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Of course, they have another question after that. Well, just if you would just show us the Father. But, you know, I think that as we look at this and we kind of bring ourselves to this understanding of truth, we have to realize that there was a reason for Jesus coming and bringing the truth to us. There was a reason he was the truth. Because certainly throughout of our lives, we're always looking for that one source. We're looking for that one place. Where is the truth? What is the truth? Pilate, asking the question even about that trial, probably still had that question on his heart. What is truth? What is truth? Tell me what it is because we can't figure it out. Look at verse 10 in our reading. He, the Word, Jesus Christ, was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. You see, there's a problem. He brings the truth into the world, the world that he created, the world that was his, it didn't recognize him. We don't know who you are. How do we know that you're the truth? How do we know that you tell us the truth? How do we know that we should trust you? But you see, what he's pointing out to us here that John wants us to understand is that there's this difference. There's this light and there's darkness. Jesus was the light that came into the world. The darkness was not able to overcome him. They couldn't really destroy him. They killed him, but that wasn't the destruction of the light. And in fact, even as they killed him, they made his light brighter. But what we understand is that there's two things that we're looking at here in this truth. And it's not who is right and who is wrong. But rather what it is that who is and who isn't the truth. That the light then is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Word of God, who came into the world, into this darkness, and the darkness rejected him. The darkness didn't know who he was. They stood opposed against him. They refused to listen to his truth. But something very curious happens to us all the time when we stand in that kind of separation. We want to stand on one side or the other, of course. But we have a hard time standing in the truth that is God. We look out into the world and say, wouldn't it be much easier if we just did that? That we look out into the world and we see their truth. They say, this is truth. And they try to bring us to their truth, which Jesus, by the way, says is not truth. He says there's only one truth. There's only one way. There's only one way to life. But yeah, as we stand in the middle here, something happens to us. Now there's this word, and I'm going to give it to you. As soon as I give it to you, you can forget about it. I want you to remember the definition, not the word. It's called syncretism. And what syncretism is the blending of two things, of opposing sides. And as those opposing sides blend together, they start to form a side of their own. Okay, so in other words, the world then stands in opposition to the truth of Jesus Christ. And so as then those who believe in Jesus stand on the side of truth, they stand with Jesus, and they live in a world that is always around them and is always influencing them, what will happen is that they will start to take parts of the world that they're living in and try to make it parts of the truth that Jesus has given to them. In other words, they try to change the truth of Jesus. We try to make that in a way that makes it so that we can stand in the world and receive that truth and not the truth of Jesus. And sometimes this happens very quietly to us. Sometimes it happens so quietly we don't even know what's happening. Oftentimes it happens and it's really loud and we can see it. It's very obvious and we fight away from that and we try to stay. But we forget about all the ones that are very quiet. We forget about the things that sneak into our hearts and our minds, and we try to replace the truth of Jesus with the truth of the world. And honestly, if you have a truth, let's use our example then, Jesus. Jesus is the truth. Anything else would be false, right? Isn't that simple enough? I mean, isn't as we look at it, I mean, you don't have to be, you know, a master of logic to understand this. Because certainly I'm not. But as we look at this, and Jesus says this is truth, our real question comes, do we believe him? And if we say, well, you know, the world has a truth too, it chips away at that belief. Well, the world says it's okay if we do certain things, and I'm not going to list them all out. You know what they are. But if the world says we do it this way and it's okay, what do we do with that? Do we take it to Jesus and we say, well, you know, Jesus, there's got to be a reason they do this and that we should be able to do it too. But Jesus doesn't say that, does he? He says there's only one way. There's only one truth. He says he's truth, that he came here and he testified to the truth. That's why this is important, because we're looking at the testimony. But as he testifies to this truth, it really is upon us to receive it and to accept it. Just like when you stand in the Garden of Eden and you have to choose between the two trees, the one that is life and the other that is death. And then you make that choice. And you pick the wrong one. Certainly we have all kinds of justifications for doing that. Certainly we have ways that the world has helped us to understand that. Well, maybe it's just not like that. Maybe it's not like how Jesus said it. Maybe it should be different. Maybe it should change. Maybe we're just old and set in our ways that we should maybe, you know, look at just kind of, you know, being more like the world, and the world would accept us. But the problem is that when Jesus came into the world, it rejected him. And so when we stand with the world, then we stand in rejection, in the rejection that they have made of Jesus. So the more that we blend ourselves into the world, the more we try to make ourselves look like the world, the less we look like Jesus. You see, this is where our struggle lies. This is why that when we stand here on the cusp of this darkness, as we stand here at the edge and we look in, especially when we have loved ones who are standing over there, we want to find reasons to make it so that they're not in that darkness. But we don't know how. We don't understand ourselves. What can Jesus do? Maybe there's a part of us that we just don't really believe that what Jesus said was really true. But yet, if we were to believe in the things that he gives us, if we were to take them as he gave them to us, and then live them out in our lives, we would start to recognize the difference between the two worlds and how he protects us from the other one. You see, I think that as we struggle in this light and darkness, as we struggle in this blending, you know, I think sometimes God will bring us to a confrontation with that. Have you ever heard the word revival? How about the word renewal? You notice there's an R-E in those. Re. Renew. Revive. Hey, I like refresh too. Let's throw that one in there. Refresh. Why is that? Why do we have to be revived if we're revived already? Why do we have to be brought back to life if we're alive? In other words, that's what revival is. Is it possible that we've fallen out of life? Is it possible that we fall closer to death than we do life? Is it possible that as we look at the truth of the world and we start to blend in with it, we start to feel that effect on us and our faith and who we believe in? We start to feel the idea and the weight that comes with that Jesus was just a man, that he really didn't mean all that way, that Jesus is a good philosophy, that Jesus is just kind of a neat way to live if you would do that. But if you're not interested in that club, that's okay, because there are other clubs who do the same thing. It certainly brings us to this understanding that as Jesus calls himself the truth, that what he is doing is that he's calling us out of the darkness, and we step out of the darkness and into his light of life. That when he calls us out and we stand in that light, we can see now. Our eyes are made open, our ears can hear. We're healed. We who were lepers, we who were lame, Jesus has healed us, and he has brought us into life. The real question becomes is, how do we ever go back? How can you go back? Maybe you never came in the first place, Hebrews tells us. But as we look at it, we certainly must understand that it's this blending that causes us to be drug away. It's this blending that causes us to question the truth of Jesus Christ. It's this giving into the world, the truth of the world. Now, let's be honest about this. Let's keep this in the right perspective too. We're not talking between the difference of chairs and pews. We're not talking the difference of this is how you set up a church building or not. Whether you call this an auditorium or you call this a sanctuary, that is not what we're talking about. Certainly there will be things of the world that we have. We're very fortunate today that many of us are wearing clothes because we wouldn't want to see what's underneath them. But the idea that we can't wear clothes because the world makes them is senseless. It's not what Jesus is talking about. It's not whether you wear a suit to church or whether you wear jeans and a t-shirt. It's not about that. Wear what you like. Just please wear clothes. But it is about why you came. It is about why you showed up here to praise the one you believe in. It is about the one that you live for. It's the one who died for you. It's the one who was light. Verse 17, if we look in there, he shows us, verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. You see, that was the great awakening for his people. The great awakening for his people, a reawakening for his people, was that they had been following the laws of Moses. God had given them to them. They were trying to stay by the laws, and the better they did it, the more they felt they were saved, that they were in that salvation that started in the beginning. But it fell away, the laws and the rules, all of the traditions and all of the things about them, that became their God. Because why? Because, well, that's what the other guys were doing. And then they started to blend in the other guy's religion with their religion. And before too long, they couldn't even tell which one they were really worshiping. And so God came in to set it straight. God came in to make it right. And so he sent his son into the world. And so we have in Moses, we have the laws. But then grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Does that mean, Paul questions in Romans, does that mean that we no longer need the law? No, not at all. That's not what he's saying. You see, when we look at these and we try to bring them out into understanding, we can't ever pull them away from the other parts of the scripture that is in there. And certainly we cannot pull verse 17 away from 16. Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. You see, God saw what he did in the Old Testament and the laws as his grace given to his people. What is grace? It is something that God gives us that we don't deserve. It's a gift. He gives us this blessing. He gives us his mercy. He gives us our salvation, and we didn't deserve it. He gave it to us even as we were still sinners, that he would give it to us so that we would understand this is his love. In other words, God went first. God went first. We go second. So that's the response as we stand here in the darkness and the light shines upon us and we realize what we really are. We realize then the grace that God has given us. Some of us will respond. Some of us will walk to him as zombies walking out of some kind of zombie movie. You know, as we stagger towards him and we become one of his, then he starts to take us and he starts to clean us. He heals us. He heals us from what we are. He brings us to a wholeness, to the fullness of who he is as he calls us out through his grace and his truth. So as we look at his grace and we look at his words, the words certainly, as Paul reminds us, he says, hey, how would I ever know what a sin was if I didn't know the law of God? How would I ever know that God says that this is a blasphemy or that God says this is pleasing? How would I know these things without his commandments, his words, his truth? Can you imagine what it would be like? Oh, maybe you can really. Can you imagine what it would be like if we had no guidance? If we had no leadership from the cross? If we had nothing that as we stood here and we said, well, I wonder what Jesus would want us to do today. Imagine how many different opinions we could come up with that Jesus would like for us to do this today. And we would have all kinds of different things, regardless of whether they were sins or not. Regardless of whether God thought they were pleasing to him or not. We just didn't. That's the truth that the world faces. In the world, they face themselves as the center of the truth. They face themselves as the source of all that is true. And then we look back at them and say, but you're not perfect. And they say, well, neither are you. We say, yeah, we understand. That's why we face Jesus, who was perfect. But yet you face imperfection in yourself, and yet you say you're true. Well, they've got a plan for that. It's called rationalization, justification. It's called, hey, look, if you're the truth and I'm the truth, you can make it up however you want. You live your truth, I'll live my truth. How about that? And then that way, then we can all just kind of get along. Syncretism. Blending. We say, yeah, that doesn't sound bad. That doesn't sound bad at all. Okay, so you go live your life, we'll go live our lives, and then we'll see what happens next. But notice, Jesus never did that. Jesus never stood his ground and just said, well, I hope they're having a good time over there. No, he went and sat with them, and he brought him his word. He brought himself to them. He was the word that sat in amongst them. And he brought them this message of salvation, this message of grace and truth. He brought them this message that, yes, the laws there were there once, but now we have placed a grace on top of a grace. You see, you just keep getting grace from God. You don't deserve it, but God keeps giving it to you. But as we receive it, then it should have an impact on our lives. It should open up our eyes, or at least turn our face to the one who gave it to us, don't you think? That we, as those who are in love with our Lord and who want to serve Him, that when He gives us something, we look up into His face. I had a family over last night, and they had their little one with them. And as we were having dinner, you know, of course, mom is feeding from the table to the child in the what do you call that thing with the tray? The high chair. See, you don't want me in your nursery. That's how you get out of it, Eric. So she would take the food from the plate and she would take it to give it to the child, and the child would look up at her. And each and every time, the only thing I could think of was, what a grace. What a blessing. And I'm certainly, you know, I'm not positive, but I wonder if the child could speak with the child every time that the little spoon went in the mouth and the child said, thank you. You see, that's what God expects of us. That's what Jesus expects. That's what John expects. That as he gives us these words, he said, do you realize that when you look up to receive the food, you receive it from God? When you look up to receive the grace and the blessings, you receive it from God. That he gives it to you. He gives you all this. Do you understand that that this gospel that John leaves for us, that when he hands it to us in a little spoon and he feeds it to us, that we look up to the face of God? Do we say, thank you? Or do we say, you owed me that one. You owe me food. But you see, Jesus, he made it known. He helped us to understand. He gave his life so that we would know where the truth came from. That in all the things that he has done for us, the one thing that he has done that we should be eternally grateful for, if we believe in him and what he said, is that he himself is the center of our lives. That he himself is the existence of all things. That he himself is the only one who can pull us from this darkness. I know there's still suffering going on out there. I know there's still tough things in your lives that are going on. I understand. I'm with you. But if we look away from him, even for just a moment, to see these things as you know, well, this hurts me, so this is my personal battle, God. I don't need your help. We believe what the world says and not what God says. And it's that simple. It's that simple. I was told this morning in Bible study was that, well, you know, that we all do that. And I believe that. I believe that we all do that. And as I was running that through my head, this challenge about who's at the center of your life, that I realized then that it was me who took my gaze away from God. It was me who for that moment didn't believe what Jesus had said. You okay, Bonnie? Okay. Okay, she's good. So, if you would come with me to verse 14, and then we'll close this up. So in light of all that, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is from the Apostle John, the believer. This is from Apostle John, the one who would then walk in service of Jesus Christ. He would be one of those who would suffer much so that this truth could be known. That this is his testimony. Much in the same way that John the Baptist also walked out there. But the one thing that we have to understand from all of this is that he gives us this one thing that we need desperately always. Unity. Unity. Now, quite regularly, we think that unity has something to do with everybody agrees with me, then we're good. I'm okay with that, if you want to do that. But that's not unity. Unity is what we agree with Jesus. Unity is how we're brought together to stand in His presence. Unity is how we are brought together, not only as this church, but as the universal church goes. That we are all standing together in the same place, same facing the same God, in the same Savior, in the same Holy Spirit, that we all stand there and we face them. All of us. Not one, not two, but all. That we are united in Jesus Christ forever if we walk in belief of Him. That He is the only way. That He is the truth, and that He is our life. That He will give us life, that He has granted us life, even as He did it and showed us beforehand, that He was the firstborn, that He became the one who walked the path that we now walk. That's our unity. Don't stray from that. Don't walk away from the unity of Jesus Christ. Don't lay it upon the church to be your God, but rather lay it upon your heart to follow the one who is your God. And your God, the Word, was God, Jesus Christ. That's who we follow, now and forevermore. Father, we just thank you so much for all that you do for us. We thank you, Lord, for your truth and for the blessings that you give us in your truth. I ask, Father, that now that you bless us with courage and strength. That I know, Lord, that you know we come to you a lot and we have a lot of things that go on in our lives and we ask you for help and we know you're right there. You're right there, Father. We can feel your presence. We know you're standing there, right there looking at us and waiting to get your arms around us. And then a little piece falls off, Lord. Part of the truth that you've given us and it falls off. And we doubt. And we wonder, is this what you really meant? But you gave us truth. You gave us you. We know the way. So help us in those desperate times, Lord, to remember that we're walking your path. That it's not about the suffering. It's not about the feelings. It's not about the power that we could have, but rather, it's about you, who are God, and who shows us His glory through our worst times, through our best times. But we know, Lord, as we see that, as we witness that now, then help us, Lord, to live in your Word, who was God, and who is God. Forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.